say thank you so much for having me back. For those of you who don't recognize me, I was here about 5 months ago on October 31st, preached a sermon to which all of you would say, that sermon was about? And you probably can't recall. And that's completely understandable, because often we have trouble recalling the things that we hear and the things that we read. I was talking with a friend earlier today. He was saying, you know, what is it that helps people to read something and not have to continually go back? And I was kind of left scratching my head, and I had to say, you know, I just think we have to go back and read these things again and again and again and remind ourselves of these things. And I just want to say, I really love your theme, this congregation's theme for this year, Renew in 2022. I think that's a great way to think about our lives, a constant renewal that we have to do so that we don't grow stale in our walk and so that we don't grow stale in what we're trying to accomplish in this life. And this morning, we're going to be looking at something that is probably very familiar to you. If not, hopefully it can become familiar to you. And that's the Psalm of David that he sang to the Lord when he was delivered from all his enemies. And it's Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18, and I was able to reference real quickly in your pew Bibles, if any of you are using the Bible that's in front of you in the pew, it's page 625 in your Bibles. Psalm 18. We're going to read this psalm. Just a couple facts about this psalm. It's probably, the fourth longest psalm in the book of Psalms. It's 50 verses. We're going to spend 2 minutes on each verse, so you'll be here for another hour and a half. I'm not going to do quite anything as in-depth as that. But I do want to read it in its entirety, as I believe it was probably meant to be read and meant to be heard. Then we're going to talk a little bit about David, about what these words meant to him, and take some applications for ourselves. So listen with me, read with me, as we read this psalm from that sweet psalmist. The title, To the Chief Musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this psalm on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I called on Yahweh and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth trembled and shook. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters. Thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from iniquity. I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man you will show yourself blameless. With the pure you will show yourself pure. And with the devious you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against the troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. Amen. Amen and amen. This psalm is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 22, with some variation. But it's recorded at the very conclusion of the book of Samuel, quite close to the end, along with another psalm of David. And it's thought that this psalm, as the title makes clear, was sung by David when he was delivered from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. There's something about that title, about the way it's phrased, that I think is very important for us. And we get a glimpse of how David views Saul. We get lots of glimpses of how David viewed Saul, his adversary, after he was anointed to be king of Israel. As you may know, and if you don't, I'd encourage you to read the book of Samuel. David was anointed king after Saul had sinned against God, after Saul had sacrificed, not waiting for Samuel, and after he had failed to carry out the judgments of God against the Amalekites. And so the kingship was taken from Saul and given to David. And pretty soon, David becomes targeted by Saul. Saul became very jealous of David, pursued him throughout the years of his life until his death. So in the title of this psalm, we have David, what David's saying when he was delivered from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. There's something significant about Saul not being included in the umbrella term David's enemies. And I think we get a picture of that. We're not going to turn there at the beginning of 2 Samuel when David hears of Saul's death. He sings a psalm, another psalm, about Saul and about the anointed of God and how sorrowful he is that the anointed of God has been brought low, that judgment has been brought against the anointed of God. So right at the very beginning of this psalm, just in the title, before we even get into the verses, I think we get a glimpse into David's heart. Because David had an adversary, an enemy in Saul, and I don't see in the way David treated Saul that he ever really counted him as someone to strive against, but to deliver up to God. And we see that in the number of times that David had Saul delivered into his hand, where he had the opportunity to take Saul's life. And David said, no, it's the Lord's anointed. I'll leave it to God to remove him from the throne. So as we read in the first section of this psalm, back in verse 1, we see how it opens. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. We see where David is placing his strength. We see him describing himself throughout this psalm, and he's always going back to, O Lord, my strength. You are the one who has given me strength. You are the one who has lifted me up. And think for a moment about David's beginnings. David, we think of as that great king of Israel, that man, beloved, man after God's own heart. And where was his beginning? His beginning was as the younger son of Jesse, a shepherd who was raised up by God to be king of his great nation. So that's his humble start, and yet everything he had, he recognized, was given to him by God. In these first few verses, we see a list of terms about armor and salvation, and it's reminiscent of, well, of Ephesians chapter 6. Much of that language is borrowed through numerous places of the Psalms, but some of it directly from Psalm 18. The breastplate of righteousness, the shield of salvation. My God is my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And David writes, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. These next few verses bring to mind David's history as he's being pursued by Saul, as he's being pursued by his enemies. We realize that he was a man hunted. It didn't seem so sure from the outside looking in as we consider David's life that he was all that blessed as he's fleeing from Saul throughout his life. It's hard to see from a worldly perspective that David is blessed and that he is going to be made this great king as the king of Israel is seeking his life. And as we read this, we can think of those times in David's life. The pains of death surrounded me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, in verse 4. In verse 5, the snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called upon Yahweh and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. So there's this time of crisis that David has before his deliverance, and he cries out to Yahweh. He cries out to God. And then we have this wonderful description. I want to dwell with you a little bit on this description of God hearing this prayer of his anointed, and what it engenders in God, what it brings about in God's character, the way God responds to the cry of his anointed, of his chosen one. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his canopy around him, with dark waters and thick clouds of the skies from the brightness before him. His thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. Let's stop for a moment. Are you seeing this picture of the creator of the universe, Yahweh, the one who spoke word and spoke material into being, who spoke each and every one of us into being, and his anointed prays to him? He says, God, the shadow of death is over me. The pangs of death surround me. And what do we see God doing? God is furious that his anointed would be treated this way, that he is in danger. And God personally responds. Personally. You see how God is described in this anthropomorphic way, in this human-like way, as he's getting on a cherub to come to the rescue of his anointed. He's personally taking an action in this. He's personally going out and defeating the enemies of his anointed. When you say your prayers to God, do you picture those prayers being heard in this fashion by your Creator? Do you picture your prayers being heard by God and God personally looking to your benefit? I think if we thought about prayer that way, the way that the psalmist describes his prayers to his Father, to Yahweh, to Jehovah, to our Lord and God, I think our prayers might take a little bit of a different turn, because we'd understand that Yahweh himself hears our prayers, our individual prayers. And when he sees that we are persecuted, when he sees that we are suffering, when he sees that we are surrounded by death, the consequences of sin, he's furious. He didn't want the world to be this way. That's not the way this world was created. This world has been twisted by sin and our rebellion against God. And it sickens God that we have to suffer, that his people suffer. And the way David describes his deliverance from God, can you think of your prayers being answered in this fashion? Read with me. Think of it in that way. In verse 13, the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire, he sent out his arrows and scattered the foe. Lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. In these verses, we see Yahweh being described as mastering and bending reality for the sake of his anointed, bowing the heavens so that he could come to the rescue of his child who has cried out to him as the pains of death surrounded him. It was mentioned before I got up here that many of you may be mourning lost ones. I know Andrea and I, at the congregation we attend, we mourn for people who have recently passed. In a group of any size, we're all going to have people that are taken from us by death. And I read a psalm like this, and I read the sweet psalmist, what he has to tell us, and I'm reminded that God deeply cares that you've lost so many people to death. He sent from above, in verse 16, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Again, this image of Yahweh from above, sending down to minister to his anointed, and taking David. He takes him. And David describes it as being taken out of the deep waters. This imagery is littered throughout the Psalms, throughout the entire Bible. In fact, you can think, going all the way back to the very creation of the world, of God bringing form to the waters of the deep. We can see it, that same imagery applied in the days of Noah, when waters literally come upon the wicked and save Noah and his family from that wicked generation. Can you think of any waters in your life, any deepness, any deep waters in your life? As I read this passage, preparing for this sermon, I couldn't help but think of the watery grave of baptism, of the deepness that of death that we submit to in that watery grave of baptism. To be risen up by God, to be grasped by God, to walk in newness of life. God is eagerly looking for His children to come to Him, to ask Him to lift them up out of those deep, dark waters. And why would Yahweh, why would He care about you and me? Why would He care? We know why He would care about David. He's His anointed one. But I think we can understand that God wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with me. He wants a relationship with you. And David says, He delighted in me. Do we often feel that way, that God delights in us? Do we consider our lives and say, well, there's not much delightful in me. Maybe my life is marred by sin. Maybe I'm having trouble repenting. Maybe I'm having trouble turning to God, or I don't feel I'm worthy to turn to God because I've lived a life that really doesn't amount to much. I think that that is answered in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ. And as we'll get there at the end of this psalm looks ahead to something. Looks ahead to something, and that something is a king much better than King David. But I think that answer, it's got to be said now, at this point in the sermon, that Jesus Christ coming to the cross and dying for you, and for you, and for you, and for you, communicates so much, but one thing it surely communicates is that God delights in you. And He wants you to be in His family. This next section of this psalm is maybe the hardest for me to read and to really appreciate, because this language is somewhat alien to me. I wouldn't think to describe my own acts of righteousness or to describe myself in these glowing terms that it seems that David may be describing himself in. So read with me this passage. Perhaps it struck you as well as we read through it. Perhaps not. Perhaps you read it and you thought, that describes me perfectly. I hope that's true. I hope it does describe you perfectly. I'm sure some of you, it probably does, more than it describes me that way. But let's read through it together and let's consider a few things. The Lord rewarded me, in verse 20, according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also blameless before Him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His sight. With the merciful, You will show Yourself merciful. With a blameless man, You will show Yourself blameless. With the pure, You will show Yourself pure. And with the devious, You will show Yourself shrewd. For You will save the humble people. You will bring down haughty looks. So those eight verses, I struggle with as I read those. For a couple of reasons. One, I read them and I say, man, could I ever pray that prayer? Could I ever describe myself that way? By my righteousness? By my clean hands? But as we read closely and carefully read through those verses, I think you might notice something, and this is something I noticed as I read through it as well. And if you didn't notice it, hopefully I can explain it to you and help you notice it. Verse 23, and I did not, or I was also blameless before him. I kept myself from my iniquity. David describes my iniquity. He possesses some iniquity. And he kept himself from it. Therefore, in verse 24, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Sprinkled throughout here, through this description of righteousness and this righteous life and his righteousness, David's righteousness, and his blamelessness, we see him referring to, they're clean in your sight, God. I don't think David is saying, my hands are clean, or have always been clean, or that I never had iniquity. But he is saying, in your sight, God, my hands are clean. And I think verses 28 through 30 are going to help us understand why David speaks in this fashion about himself. For you, God, will light my lamp. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. For by you, I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. And verse 27 is also going to help us understand this language that David is using to describe himself, describe his walk before God. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. I mentioned one reason why this is hard for me to understand, why these verses are hard for me to understand. The other reason is because I know the entirety of David's life. And I think most of us do. We know that David started off this blessed individual anointed by God. And he received the kingship. And indeed, everything seemed to be going his way. Because of his trust in God. Because of his faith in God. Everything seemed to be going his way. The kingdom was delivered to him. Eventually, Saul's house was put away. And then we have David sinning against Uriah the Hittite. So in 2 Samuel, David doesn't go off to war, and he sees Bathsheba, this beautiful woman. And he inquires about her, and he invites her into his home, and he commits adultery with her. And he tries to cover up his sin by calling back home Uriah the Hittite and saying, Maybe if I can get Uriah to lie with his wife, my sin will be hidden from me. And that doesn't work, because Uriah, being an honorable man, said, no, I can't go into my wife while your troops are abroad. I can't do that, David. I'll stay with you. Being called home to you to bring you a report of the war, I'll stay with you, David. And so David is left bewildered. He says, well, that didn't work to cover up my sin, to wash my hands of that sin, to make myself blameless. That didn't work. So what I'll do is I'll send Uriah back with a message carrying his own certificate of death that he would deliver to Joab. And that message was, you send Uriah against the wall of the enemy, and then you pull away from him and let him die. And so David accomplished a murder of Uriah the Hittite. And with the news of his death, he says, well, those who live by the sword die by the sword. Don't let it trouble you, Joab. And then he takes Bathsheba into his household, thinking, I am blameless. I have covered up the sin. None shall know of it. And we know that's not where the story ended. Because then Nathan the prophet comes to him and explains to him via parable that he sinned so wickedly against God and against Uriah and against Bathsheba and against himself, and there will be consequences to this. And the latter portion of the book of 2 Samuel is nothing but tragedy after tragedy after tragedy as David's house falls apart, as civil war breaks out. So much so that at the end of his life, as David is fleeing the city of Jerusalem, and someone in the house of Saul comes to him and starts levying curses against him, David and one of his men says, "We should kill this man." David stays the hand. This is Shimei, is leveling curses against him. And David stays his hand and says, "No, because what he says of me, it's from God. I am cursed because of the sins I have committed." So when I read these verses describing blamelessness and righteousness, and I think of that portion of David's life, of King David's life, of that man after God's own heart, it's puzzling to me that he would describe himself in this way. Now, one solution is to say, well, this psalm was written before all that happened. So at that point, David could confidently say that. But there's two ways to read this psalm. One is directly after he's delivered from the house of Saul and from all his enemies, when the kingdom seems sure around him. Or to read it that it was written then, but it could be read at the end of David's life as well, as he recognized that he was delivered by God, not only from his enemies, but from his own sin, and from the great evils he himself had committed. And that he could confidently say, "My darkness has been enlightened. A lamp has been shown to my feet, even though I rejected God. God called me to him." So even after that life of tragedy, David could confidently say, "In your sight, my hands are clean." Now read on with me. Let's read a little bit more through verses 31. Beginning in verse 31. "For who is God except Yahweh? And who is a rock except our God? God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer, sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip." We have this great description of David. We know David was a man of war. And we have countless battles described that David was involved in and that his people were involved in. Countless battles, countless confrontations. But something is very interesting about the way those battles are recounted. Not a lot of detail is given. In fact, where you get most of the detail is when the people of God haven't been serving him, and so they are defeated. But when they're victorious, it's just the Lord handed over the army, handed over 20,000, 40,000, 60,000 troops. In fact, you have this great list at the end of 2 Samuel of David's mighty men, where you hear these acts of great prowess of his mighty men, these acts that seem superhuman. And indeed, we know of acts that David himself completed in his defeat of Goliath that we say, well, maybe he was just a skilled with a slingshot, skilled with a sling. But, boy, that's pretty impressive, taking down a man almost 10 feet tall with just a rock. And we can think of David's life and think of all the wonderful things he accomplished. And we, again, come back to the same idea that is throughout this psalm. None of this was David. None of the deliverance of his kingdom was because of him. And he recognized that. He said, no, this is all from God. God has let me do these things. God has made me strong. God has made me able to overcome. "I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them," in verse 37. "Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to Yahweh, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets." These enemies of David, these enemies of God, David was able to overcome, able to vanquish, able to conquer. Now, verse 43 through 50. Let's dwell on that for a moment. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. This may be the section of the psalm that we get to the end, and you start saying to yourself, boy, that sounds like maybe it's not just describing David. Now, David, it is recorded for us in Samuel, in Kings, that foreign nations were giving him tribute, were giving him alms, were coming to him. We see much more of that with his son, Solomon. But so much more than that, we see that this psalm fulfilled. We see this messianic description of a king who is set over all the nations. We see it fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In that man who went to the cross for us, who died for us, who gave his blood for us, so that he could be crowned, so that he could sit at the right hand of the throne of God. Throughout the Psalms, you'll find descriptions like this, this messianic message. And you'll see these terms, these flowery descriptions of such grand nature that you say, well, maybe that applies to David. Maybe that applies to Solomon. But you know who really it really applies to? It applies to Jesus Christ. And we see this again and again throughout the lives of David and Solomon and the kings of Judah and of Israel. We see that they weren't good kings at all. None of them, even the good ones, weren't perfect. The ones like David, who were described as a man after God's own heart. And then we see their lives and we say, that's a life marred by sin. And of course, as we read of David's life, as we read of Solomon's life, as we read of the lives of these characters and these individuals from history, it's very easy to look at them and say, boy, their lives are so wicked in so many ways. And yet God looked at David's hands and he saw clean hands. And the only way he could do that was because of the blood of his son that would be given on that cross. It was that blood that makes it so that he can look at us and say, you are clean. You are holy. I've redeemed you. And now this is the part of the psalm that in many ways would make it somewhat hard to understand if couldn't understand that it's really talking about Jesus Christ at the end of here. That last verse, great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, David and his descendants forevermore. Great mercy to his anointed. Well, we know that David received mercy at the hands of God. We know he received mercy for the great sins that he committed. And then we haven't really talked about this, about how David responded after he committed those sins. But it's captured for us midway through this psalm. The Lord lifts up the humble. He exalts the humble. He saves the humble. David through himself, the mercy of God, when he found himself mired in sin, when death surrounded him. He turned to the same God that had anointed him in the first place. And he said, God, I am wicked. Please have mercy on me. And Yahweh did. God did have mercy on it. But now, having mercy to David and his descendants, well, we know Jesus Christ is a descendant of David. Hebrews tells us that we, through Jesus Christ, can be brought into that family of God, to become his brothers, to become his sisters, to reign with him. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. As you read this psalm, what part did you identify with? What jumped out to you to say, that's true about my life? Because I think as we read the psalms, they're so relatable because they were written by men and women who lived and died on this earth, who sinned and sought mercy and found absolution in their God in that way. One part that in particular strikes me about this psalm is David's introduction and the death that surrounded him, the pains that surrounded him. The pains of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, cried out to God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ear. Many of us have experienced pain, suffering, death in the last few years. But the older I get, the more I realize that that death, that pain, that suffering is kind of ever-present, always around us, always ready to come to be a stumbling block before us, for us to forget about these great promises that we have in our God through his Son, revealed to us by his word through his Spirit. It may be that you, in hearing this psalm, perhaps some of you may not yet be able to say, you know what? God did lift me up out of deep waters. God did take me up from the watery grave of baptism that he has asked me to participate in. So it may be that you hear this psalm and you don't hear salvation. You don't hear, hey, that actually applies to me. It may be that you don't yet realize what you need to do to become one of the descendants that God would show mercy to. If you have any needs in your spiritual life, any needs in this life, I know brethren here, and myself, we'd be happy to help you with that. So please, if you have any need to become right with God, or needs that you need these brethren to know, please feel free to come forward so that other people can minister to you as we stand and sing the song of invitation.